This morning, out of this series, I want to talk about love intercedes. Love intercedes. Love intercedes. God is one that looks at our situation and assesses how far we can really go, all that we can do, what we can really be. And there are moments in life where we need some help. I don't think I would be here today if it wasn't for God's help. Matter of fact, I know that my body and my mind would rather be in bed right now. And you would say, you just went on vacation. But yeah, I was on a plane. And when you're coming back from being on a plane and crossing three time zones, you'd rather be in bed. But I came here today because God decided to give me enough energy to be here. And because as far as I'm concerned, there's no place I'd rather be than in the house of God. And I don't say that to get something out of you, but it's because I know that God is interceding on my behalf to do what I can't do. You see, there are things in this life that you and I just can't do on our own. And since we got all these young people in here, I want you to get at least one lesson from your pastor. And I hope it stays with you for the rest of your life. Y'all ready to hear? I need the young people to talk back to me. The adults ain't going to. Y'all listening? I want you to take one lesson from me for the rest of your life, okay? If you don't listen to nothing else I say today, or as long as I'm here, take this one thing that'll serve you well. No matter what anybody tells you, you do need somebody.
Yes.
The primary somebody you need is God. Because God will help you in every single situation that exists. Take that. If you don't get nothing else out of today, take that with you. You need God to be there for you. To be there for situations you can't handle by yourself. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because when I read the text, there's a guy in this text that needed the Lord to show up. And he didn't know he needed the Lord to show up until a moment came for him, and that was Barabbas. Let me tell you about this guy. This guy, Barabbas, had a long rap sheet. He was a criminal. Dude was in jail, wasn't supposed to get out. I mean, there was no reason for him to be considered to be set free back in society. But one day, people decided it was time to have Jesus killed, right? Even though Jesus already knew he had to die. And even though he already knew that this was all a part of the plan for his life, that he had to die, people decided, well, it's time to find a way to finally get rid of this guy who's been messing up with our faith. He's been messing up our way of living. He's been messing up how we've been functioning forever. Sound like disgruntled, overbearing church folk. Not here. Y'all all right with me. Y'all, I love y'all. I'm just talking about my experience. You know, the real reason that they wanted Jesus dead was because he was disrupting how things were going, the status quo. You know how things were going in the temple where, you know, and what did we learn months ago? The temple was supposed to be a place for everybody to come and experience God, correct? That's what we learned. We were in it for 2 months. We pieced that thing. What Solomon prayed was that everybody would have a chance to experience God in this massive place known as the temple. Fast forward to when Jesus is on the earth, it wasn't like that. Folk couldn't get in to experience God because they didn't have the money to get the sacrifice that was being sold so they could do what they needed to do to engage in their faith. You had people that were hurting and they weren't in the best of condition. They couldn't get close because they were considered unclean, so they had to be on the outside. Right? Jesus shows up, sees the mess, says, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." He started teaching in synagogues and giving proper context to the word. And people started getting offended that he preached what thus said the law. It was disrupting things. So they made up in their minds they wanted him dead. They tried to throw him off of a cliff once, couldn't do it. Jesus walked right through the crowd. They had their hands on him, took him to the edge. They couldn't do it. Walked right through him, said, "Try some other time." So they had to come up with an elaborate plan. And it wasn't really elaborate. You know how things happen. People think they're doing something and they don't even realize they ain't really doing much of nothing. It's kind of like the tire, right? All tires are really the same. They're the same shape. They have the same function. The only difference is how much of good material is in the tire. That's the only difference. Didn't create anything new. You just came up with something that had a little more quality. So what they came up with was at best a poor carbon copy of what God had already set in motion from the beginning of time after Adam and Eve messed everything up. And all they were pawns in a greater game of chess. And now we come to this point where Jesus has received another trial to hopefully get him off, since he really wasn't guilty of anything. And the judge, being Pilate, he's saying, "I don't see nothing wrong with this man. I got to find a way to get this man off because all the evidence shows he is not guilty. So what I'll do, because I'm bright and I don't want the guilt, I'm going to go according to their feast day, bring up a guy, some random person that could not possibly be accepted by the people in order to get this guy off." That's where Barabbas comes. Barabbas was not supposed to get out of jail. The plan was, I'm going to put this guy with a rap sheet up against this guy that has done nothing illegal. And there's got to be no way that reasonably thinking people will allow this man, who should not be in public with anybody, to go free. You know the story. They got loud when Pilate said, "Who do you want to set free?" And he did it just like that. Will it be Jesus? Will it be Barabbas? They shouted, "Give us Barabbas. Give us the criminal. Give us the guy that's got the rap sheet." That meant that the people were riled up in such a way by the people that really hated Jesus. They were riled up in such a way that they pointed all their anger towards somebody that did absolutely nothing. And they were willing to take the blame and the guilt for having an innocent man killed. The text says, when Pilate said, almost like, "Are you sure?" And they said, "Let it be on us and our kids." Doesn't this stuff sound familiar? So, in this story, Pilate's talking to the crowd, but there are two people that are silent. That's Jesus and Barabbas. You never hear Barabbas try to plead his case, and you never hear Jesus trying to plead his case. And somehow, before the cross, liberation happened. A man that would never be free was set free. And some of you might think, well, the people did that. The people didn't do that. God is so intricate in design about how God wants a thing done that unless you pay attention, you can't even trace the plan. Prove it. Jesus already said before this, I gotta die. He said it more than once. This temple will be destroyed and in 3 days it'll be built back up. He said to his disciples, I got to die, but guess what? I'm coming back. And when I come back, that's when we'll sit at this table again. He already knew that this had to happen. He's already told everybody this had to happen. So what is he doing right at this moment? He is silent, but he is interceding in silence for a man that didn't deserve to be free. I'm glad someone caught it. See, here's the reality of the thing. So all of us in here at some point was Barabbas. There was nothing in this world that said that we should be free, that we should have anything, that we should be blessed, that we should be in the positions we're in, doing what we're doing, being blessed that hand over fist. We were in a spot where our decisions should have took us out. We were in positions where things that we decided to do should have never allowed us to prosper. But then the Lord showed up and stepped in when we didn't even know he was stepping in. And he took on stuff that was supposed to be for us. So when love intercedes, what happens? First thing that happens is that it liberates us from the penalty of bad decisions. Notice what I didn't say, because some folk will misquote this. So I'm going to say it again. When love intercedes, it liberates, frees us, saves us from the penalty of bad decisions. It doesn't erase your bad decisions. But love intercedes to save you from the penalty of bad decisions. Think about it. There are some things that you have done that you know should have went a different way. Let me come down somebody's street. There are people that you had in your mind that you were going to be with for the rest of your life. You made a bad decision by being with somebody you ain't had no business being with. I don't care if it's a relationship. I don't care if it's a friendship, whatever. You made up in your mind you were rolling with them all the way. And then something happened. And then you're on the side of the road of life. Mad, upset, disillusion, you were so angry, and you said to yourself, I'll never be able to find anything or be with anybody or whatever ever again. And then all of a sudden the Lord shows up, and before you could live with the guilt or the pain or the hurt of all that stuff, the Lord stepped in, interceded for you, got you out of the situation, got you out of the circumstance, and reminded you who you were. You are more than a conqueror. You are the baddest thing that's ever walked on two legs.
You are what God says you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a marvelous work in the sight of God. And you wouldn't have that right now if God didn't show up and bring somebody by to remind you who you were. To bring somebody by to remind you that you are a king's kid. You might not be where you are today at this moment if God allowed you to keep on riding with that thing. The worst kind of lockdown is the lockdown that happens when it's at the hands of your own decisions. Folk can do some stuff to you, but ain't nothing worse than when you do it to yourself, because you had control. So when you lose control of yourself and God steps in and says, you know what? You can't get out of this. So let me what? Intercede for you. Barabbas couldn't get out of jail. But because of the hate of a crowd, and wait for it, and the wavering of a judge, God used all of it to give Barabbas one more chance. Because in the mix was Jesus. When Jesus shows up, he liberates us from the penalty of our bad decisions. Amen. Number two, love, when it intercedes, does not expose the ignorance of others. What was the ignorance going on in the text? The ignorance was people being petty to the point of being murderous, wanting Jesus to die when the evidence said he didn't deserve it. If that ain't beyond petty, I don't know what is. And watch, Jesus never ever said one word. Let me help some of you for the rest of your life. Stop going around here trying to justify yourself to somebody else. Especially when they try to tell you about you. Because when the time comes, God will always allow people who are acting ignorant to see their ignorance on display. Prove your point. Okay, I will. They wanted this man to die so bad that they were willing to let a murderer out to get it done. Right? They wanted Jesus to die so bad they were willing to circumvent reason to get him to die. And all they did was set the platform for Jesus to die and rise from the dead like it had already been prophesied. Ain't nothing funnier in this world. The funniest thing to see in the world is not a fool, but a fool being used. Because you will find out that all this stuff that you do out of negativity is nothing more than building a stage for you to have to watch how God will bless who he wants to bless. Yes. Their ignorance wasn't exposed, but it allowed a guilty man to go free. Their ignorance wasn't exposed because even on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that ignorance went all the way to government officials. Because when The people at the grave that was supposed to guard it knew that Jesus got up. The government had to cover it up. They paid off the guards to go out and lie and say that it was his disciples that stole the body, when they knew that it was done by the power of God. Don't waste your energy on trying to prove how crazy other folk are. Because God is working a thing. You just be silent. Because if you go out and try to prove how crazy they are, you will miss your opportunity to be blessed in ways that God could only bless you. You will waste your energy on trying to prove something that God was already going to prove. You just have to what? Let yourself be silent and let God work it all the way out. There's a difference between being given $100,000 and earning $1 million. What's the difference? You give me $100,000, I can make it last for a little bit. But if I let the process roll, I can earn $1 million and be appreciative for what I went through to get it. I can't handle a gift sometimes because the gift will run out. Look at every kid that gets a gift on Christmas Day. They're happy when they open the gift. They're happy when they play with it for a few hours on December 25th. But I promise you, if you don't already know like I do, that that gift is going to be stuffed somewhere, broken down somewhere, or something else, because after it's all said and done, the gift is no longer appreciated. But what's the difference when you earn it? When you go through the process, when you go through what you need to, when you have it planned, when it's this is happening, that's happening, you begin to appreciate stuff. You don't let folk touch your stuff. You take care of your stuff. You mind your business. As a matter of fact, you don't even let folk know you got stuff. Your mouth is shut. You ain't got to go around tell folk this is my... You don't waste your energy because God is working a thing. When love intercedes, it doesn't expose the ignorance of others. One more thing. It fast tracks to the bigger picture. It fast tracks to the bigger picture. Look at what happened. Who you want? Want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. Watch this. Here's the fast track. Barabbas is set free. Shackles off. Go. But then immediately after the judgment is sealed, after they take on the responsibility for the innocent blood of Jesus, he was beat up and then sent to carry the cross. Think about it. What would have happened if they would have ruled Jesus innocent? See, y'all don't think about the right things, because if you thought about the right thing, you shout about the right thing. What if Jesus was declared innocent? Everything said he was. What if they would have ruled in the court that Jesus was innocent? That would mean Barabbas would have went back to jail. That means that Jesus would have just been compensated for being beat up in the first place by crooked cops. And he would not have died. Which means that we would not be free. All right. So you have Jesus, who has already gone through the internal turmoil. I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could do this. Father, if you come up with another way, let's do that. It took him hours to come to that resolution. It took him an hour. He prayed and prayed. If there's another way, let's do that. But if there's no other way, your will be done. An hour of prayer to get ready to take on all this. And you mean to tell me that after you've made up your mind to go through the process, that all of a sudden the process was stopped? God don't work like that. Because once it's in motion, once it's ready, once everything is working, once everything has been set forth, that means God is going to complete it. Which means this, that no matter what you face in this life, do not look at God and say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do that. Because God is already working on the backside. Everything you're facing in this life right now, every challenge that you're going through, every moment that you have gone through, every situation you're going through, every challenge that you're going through is not for you to stop right now. But God is working things out on the backside, because after you've made it through this, God will make you better for it. Yes. Prove your point. Jesus went through it. He died. He died a horrible death. He died a whole 6 hours on a cross after being beat up, beat down, carried his own cross. But then 3 days later. He got up. Scarred up, but he got up. Nail prints in his hand, but he got up. Let me tell you something. You are going to be better for the process, because everything you're facing in this life right now is for a greater purpose. You're not going through what you're going through for nothing. You are not going through the challenges of life for nothing. You are not by yourself. When God is on the throne, working and orchestrating it for your good. And we know that all things work together for good. Those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. So, it's a bigger picture. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't fear. It's going to work out. Because he's already working on your behalf. Well, I don't know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about who you do know. He's already working it out. Don't worry about what other folk are doing. Worry about what God is doing. Don't worry about whether or not a thing is happening. Know that he's already working on your behalf, interceding for you, even when you can't see it or trace it. He's already doing it for you.